One of the things that seems to be just a constant among human beings, whether we like it or not, is waiting. Waiting for things. The Bible is filled with waiting. Some of it is done patiently. Some of it is done not so patiently. One of the things about waiting is that no matter how you do it, it still takes as long as it's going to take. You can stand in front of the elevator and keep pushing the button. It doesn't come any faster. You can stand in the elevator and chat with whoever else happens to be there, and it doesn't come any slower either. This is just how it works. And we are called to wait. One of the things I was struck with when I was thinking about this is this whole idea of waiting. No one loves waiting, but we will all wait for what we love. I like that one. I don't know if it's original to me or not. Wherever, if it is, you're welcome to use it wherever it makes your life better. Because that is the case. We don't like waiting, but we're willing to when we know what comes at the end is worth it. We wait for children. At this time of year, we're of course thinking even more so of that with the coming of Jesus in my house. Of course, it's inescapable. Grandchildren on the way, that's just one of those things that you have to wait for. And no matter how much you or the person carrying this child wants it to happen sooner than it's going to, it's just not going to. We just wait for things. The thing about waiting is that it's more important to us how we wait than what we're waiting for. If I'm impatiently waiting for that elevator, if when it finally comes, I step into the elevator and I stamp my foot a little bit to teach the elevator a lesson, and maybe I call it names for being so slow, the elevator isn't changed in any way at all. But when I get to wherever I'm going, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be a less pleasant person than I was when I started. Because waiting badly affects me. Impatience affects me first and foremost. And then it goes out and affects the people around me. I take the elevator to get to the fifth floor of my building, which is where I work. I can take the stairs, and sometimes I do, but I usually take the elevator. And if I resent the elevator ride, if it makes me angry that it took so long or that it does that shaky thing first thing in the morning. It's a new-ish building. I don't think the elevator should have quite that many problems. But the first few rides in the morning, you know how when you're kind of stiff in the morning and you walk funny till you get sort of warmed up? Our elevator is like that. So it sort of jumps a couple of times. First few times you're in the elevator first thing in the morning, it's a bit of a jolt. You realize, no, this is just the way it is. But if I resent that and it makes me angry, what are the chances of me responding well to an unusual request by one of my coworkers? They're less than average. I'm less likely to be a gracious recipient of an unusual request. And that's not the elevator's fault. It's easy for us to blame what we waited for. And a five-floor building. You wouldn't think an elevator would make that much of a difference. The worst that can possibly happen is you have to stop on 2, 3, and 4 on your way to 5. I mean, and yet I have found myself quietly resenting this elevator that really doesn't deserve it, and my resentment doesn't do anything to it. How we wait can have a profound effect on who we are, how we are, and how we relate to the people around us. We've been waiting, and by we, I mean the church, we've been waiting for thousands of years for Jesus to return. And it has made some parts of the church resentful, and kind of bitter, and unpleasant and off-putting in the sense that this is taking too long, that something's wrong. The amount of wait that we've had has led some people to say, well, if it's taken this long, he's never coming, and they've just left. They've abandoned the whole idea. But the people that we look to, the people that have written the Advent and Christmas hymns that we enjoy so much, those mentors that we had as individuals in the faith as we were maturing in the faith and as we still are, those people in church history that have looked forward to this with anticipation, who have used the wait as a time to be hopeful rather than a time to be resentful, those are the ones that have made a profound difference. Because the thing about waiting is that we get to choose how we wait. We can choose to use that time in the long lineup at wherever we've been lined up for a long time in the last little while, and there's a good chance that all of us have been in the lineup at least once or twice in these last few weeks, I think. Whether it's in an airport or in a store or wherever it might be, when we've been in that line, when we've been waiting to accomplish what we're there to accomplish, we can choose to look at the people around us and perhaps strike up a conversation. We can choose with the child who's ahead of us who's making a fuss to make faces at it, to make the boy or girl laugh. That's my chosen. That's my chosen activity most of the time, especially when my mustache is waxed. If I can get a little kid's attention who's crabby with that waxed mustache, that's usually long enough for your average line. I don't have to do that. I can be angry that there's a noisy kid in front of me. I can be angry that there's somebody behind me who is apparently unaware of the fact that their cart does take up physical space, and if they try and put it in my physical space, there's a collision. Or I can put in the work, because it is work sometimes, to think that there's somebody who's distracted by something, probably has a lot on their mind. And you know what? I can even pray for them without even knowing who they are. And when I do that, the interesting thing is that while the knock on my ankle might hurt just as much as it did before, the resentment's gone. Do you know how hard it is to resent somebody you're praying for? I mean, I don't think you should try to do this. I think you'll notice, though, that when you're praying for people, you don't resent them. What's wrong hasn't changed, but your feeling has changed. We've been waiting for Jesus to come back, all of us, our entire lives. We didn't know we were waiting at first when we were infants, of course. Nobody knows. We don't know what infants think, really, but I'm pretty sure they're not aware of the coming of Jesus and are concerned about the delay. But at some point we came to that understanding and we thought, yeah, well, that would be nice if Jesus came back today, because it would be. And it would be nice if every time I went into a store with whatever I wanted to buy, that a cash register opened right in front of me. That would be nice. But that's not a requirement for me to successfully negotiate the transaction of the day. It would be nice if Jesus came back today. But if he doesn't, it doesn't mean he's not coming back any more than being in a long line at Superstore or wherever you happen to go means that you will never actually get your stuff, no matter what it might feel like, especially to the 8-year-old who's with you, who really has... Some days Neela doesn't deal well with lines. Most of the time she's okay because she just goes and looks at things. But, you know, when she's impatient, she's impatient. The fact that it's taking longer than I like to get to the line so I can pay my money and get my stuff and go off to the rest of my day doesn't mean it's not going to happen. The fact that I've been waiting my whole life for Jesus to come back and wrap up everything and take away all the pain in my life and all the pain in everybody's life to redeem this beautiful world. The drive in this morning was just glorious with all the frost on the trees. Highways weren't slippery like they said they might be, so the road was pleasant to drive on. The things to look at were wonderful. When the world is put back to the way it should be, we won't have to worry about slippery roads anymore. I don't know if we'll have cars seems kind of unlikely, but maybe we will. But we won't have to worry about sliding off the road. I'm really looking forward to that. I'm looking forward with a lot of anticipation. I would love that to happen now. But I'm willing to wait with a good heart, because I have to wait no matter what. Sitting in a chair and grumping that Jesus doesn't come back today won't make him come back any faster. Any more than my kids waiting for babies, wishing them to show up sooner because they've had it with being pregnant. As apparently everybody reaches this stage, all women reach this stage at some point. There you go. That doesn't make the baby show up any faster. It might make you feel a little less comfortable. It might make the last few weeks a little less pleasant. So you may as well just wait with a good heart and say it's going to happen. It's not easy, but it can be done. And one of the ways that we do it is by reminding ourselves what we're waiting for. If all we were doing was waiting, that would be pretty dreary. If all we were doing was just hanging out because, that would get pretty tiresome, I think. But Mary was waiting. Elizabeth was waiting. Every pregnant woman in the history of the world was waiting for a baby. They weren't just waiting because they wanted to wait. They're waiting for a baby, which makes the waiting worthwhile. We're waiting for Jesus to come back. And the waiting will be worthwhile. And if we can wait well, if we can wait with optimism and with hope, if we can wait with love, the waiting won't be so bad. It'll be just as long as it would be otherwise. But it'll be a lot more pleasant. It'll be a lot better for us, and it'll be a lot better for everyone around us. If we remember that we're waiting not because we love to wait, but we're waiting because we love what we're waiting for. The opportunity to see Jesus face to face, whatever that looks like, makes waiting a little bit easier. Knowing that the new creation will be one without fault makes waiting a little bit easier. But if all I do is zero in on the wait, if all I do is think about the wait, if I spend all my time thinking about how long I've been waiting, I'll lose sight of what I'm waiting for. And the wait will just be longer and less pleasant. And so will I be a lot less pleasant. So as we wait, and all of us have things to wait for right now. We're waiting for people to join us for Christmas. We're waiting for Christmas itself. We're waiting for results for this, or we're waiting for that. Whatever we're waiting for, let's all try and wait well. Let's pay some attention to what we're waiting for and think more of that than how long it's taking. And I think we'll find that the time will speed along just the way it always has, a second at a time. But it won't seem so long, and it'll be a lot more pleasant. Amen.